the full mix back and forth, and what you put on remains there, you know, and it's just a quick way to record, but it's completely completely stupid way to do it, but that's also what we've been doing.
Yeah, but I think this, I think it came out brilliant from what I've been listening to. I've been really enjoying it. Anything that makes me think, stop and think for a second when I'm trying to like draw a comparison. And I don't do it just for myself, but I do it for a listener when you try to explain what the music is ahead of time. You know, like, you know, like if, like where you're getting your influences from, your inspiration, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always say it that way, but where do you guys draw any of your influences from? Like I said, that big intro of absolute, you know, craziness of what I was hearing, but that is totally different from what other people would hear or what you would be inspired from. So what do you two get, what is the inspiration for Magic Duck?
Well, first I just want to say I liked your MGMT meets Ween thing. That I feel like that's somewhat accurate.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, I was going to say, I wouldn't say we're not like big Ween fans at all.
Right.
Like, it's not like a big, but we said at some point we were like, I think that's someone people would compare us to just because there's the humor element,
yeah,
like pitched vocals, you know. But I wouldn't say that's really an influence. I just thought that was a good comparison you made. But we listen to a lot of like 60s stuff. We love Harry Nilsson, the Beatles, obviously. You know, we love like 70s pop records. Like we love Fleetwood Mac. I don't know, Kyle, what would you say?
I think you're doing a good job, man. That pretty much covers it. I like the Zappa reference. I didn't actually get into Zappa until recently, until after actually probably all these records were released. But I can also see resemblance there because when I was listening to Zappa again, there's the pitched vocals or the humor in it, you know. Group vocals.
Yeah, there's this little creativity thing that was happening in a certain time period, and of course, just like what you said, I didn't get into Zap until well after it was all over, like years and years, yeah, and years and years. It's just like you just kind of, for me myself, I just kind of stumbled across it because everybody always said, "Hey man, you really got to start listening to Zap." I'm like, "No, I don't."
Yeah.
Just, you know, I don't have to listen to anything until I'm ready to listen to it, and then later on in life, I'm like,
yeah,
"Oh, this is actually, you know, this is actually kind of cool," because you just get so, I don't know what the term is, disgusted with the what you hear on radio all the time and whatever the norms are. You kind of rebel against everything. Is that something with the two of you, with the style that you do this in, like a rebelling against whatever popular music is?
Not necessarily rebelling. Everything comes at the right time, I guess, you know? Some things take a couple of listens to get into.
Right.
I would say, yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Wasn't a conscious decision, is what I was saying. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yeah, I think, like, it's not a rebellion, but, like Kyle said, it just kind of comes out the way it comes out. Like, in some cases, not anything that's been released, but we've attempted to make, like, top 40 sounding, like pop with auto-tune and stuff, you know, like we also like Bruno Mars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like we like a lot of the mainstream stuff, and like our attempt at like a Bruno Mars song just sounds like, you know, weird or whatever, just because it's us making it, you know. It's not like intentional or something like that, you know.
I'm not afraid to die.
does kind of make sense, and now it's all starting to click a little bit more for me because of the Onlyest One album that you put out in August and the Harry Nilsson reference. It's all starting to fall in line for me right now. Now I'm starting to get like some of the references that you guys are making there. Hey, it's Gunnar. It's Steel City Music. I'm chatting with Magic Duck right now. They have a new album out called Eat Your Heart Out. They will be released on Wellpel Records on Friday. What is it? Friday, December the 18th. Is that the big label announcement? Of course, I'm announcing it on my blog on that date. I won't do that beforehand. But is that the big date that you guys...
I think that's the one, yeah.
So how did you guys get connected with them?
With Wellpel?
Mm. How did all that come about?
Well, we're friends of Ethan's. Ethan Paxton, of course. Just from, I don't know, years ago, like for the last 4 or 5 years, our band that we played in, Free Love... we play shows with Delta Days all the time, and we just became friends, like hanging out at shows, after shows.
Yeah.
So he just kind of messaged us on Instagram, I don't know, like a month ago or something like that.
And that was it?
6 weeks ago.
Hey, I want to put your music out?
Yeah, pretty much. He just said, hey, I started this. We saw the Wellpel thing floating around on Instagram, and we were kind of like, we didn't know who was running it. We just saw, you know, Delta Days was releasing something through a label, and we were, you know, surprised when Ethan was like, hey, I'm the one writing the label or whatever. And we're like, oh, that's cool. So then he just kind of told us what it was about, and we said, yeah, sure, we're down.
That's my favorite song. You and me are together. It's been too long. Don't stop the rhythm. That's my favorite song.
Was Free Love anything like what the Magic Duck project is? Because I didn't see Free Love.
No, this is more, as of right now, a recording project of two of the members of Free Love. Free Love was us with three of our other buddies.
Right.
It's basically a new project, I guess you could say. It's the recording project.
Free Love was like a more of a live thing, like where you jam songs, and like this is more just we have a list of we compile a list of every like song idea we had over the last couple years, just even if it was just like a hook or a chord progression or whatever,
right?
And we gave them all names or whatever, and then we just started like ticking those off on like the Body Heat album and the Eat Your Heart Out album and the Onlyest One album. The other one was kind of just made spontaneously. Like we didn't, the Duckling album, we just kind of made it up as we went. There was like nothing written.
Oh, okay. This last one was done over Zoom. But what I, when I was looking at like some of the song titles and how many songs that you had on each of these albums, I noticed that none of them, I'm actually looking at the latest one right now that you're going to be putting out, Eat Your Heart Out, but nothing clicks over 3 minutes and 14 seconds. Like, that's the longest track that you have. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, all right.
Like now, observation.
Yeah, but it's like you look at it and I say to myself, okay, you know, in each one of these songs, they've fleshed it out as much as that they're going to flesh out each of these songs for whatever the lyric wise or music wise, that sort of thing. But there is no like, okay, we're going to like really riff on this and go for a long while. Is that like an agreement between the two of you, or is that just something that may happen at the next album? You might put out a 6 minute track, right? Because I'm not saying that any of these songs are not radio friendly, because to me they're very radio friendly, right? This is something that listen to on the air. Maybe this is why I don't program a commercial radio station in Canada, but anyway. But what I'm saying is that, like, is this what you guys are going to be, or like, will you progress to like, hey, you know, maybe we'll do a 6 or 7 minute long song, or is that just not in the what the look is for Magic Duck right now?
Well, if you do look, we do have some long enders at the end of a couple of the albums. Our record's 12 minutes.
Okay,
they're on the newest.
Is it
but
okay?
Even
yeah,
then,
yeah, because Peter in the Moonlight, I looked at it, was
ride anything out, right?
Yeah,
it jumps around. It's basically like 10 songs in 12 minutes. So
yeah. It just seems like,
really,
Kyle, that it's
decision, though. We like to keep it fresh, I guess. I don't know. I really don't know.
To a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Kyle, you pretty much touched upon what I was thinking, is that a lot of these songs have like are also tiny, tiny little songs within it. You know, because Peter in the Moonlight, you know, is, you're right, it's 12 minutes. But when I was listening to it, I was like, I thought it was just like these different little songs just like put together. It wasn't like a big, long, like a riffy kind of jam thing.
What it is, yeah. But that's probably... Those are the only songs we consciously want to try and make a long song, but then it just ends up, like you said, being a bunch of songs mixed into one, you know?
Right.
Like we just came up with an idea to have, like, at the end of albums, like the next album, we're going to try to top 12 minutes, like, because that's our longest song yet, right?
Yeah.
So, well, the next one, the ender might be like 14 minutes or something, you know? But it's like Kyle said, we have to, like, on purpose make it a long song, you know, just for the sake of having a long song.
Yeah.
one that you're releasing on the 18th with the label that's coming out on the label. It's very enjoyable and it's a lot of fun to listen to. I want to give you guys kudos for that. My next question is, how do you guys do it with in regards to like a video now? Like, how are you guys going to put videos out with your music? Because a lot of people always put out, you know, they make plans of doing a video with somebody, that sort of thing, or they have like a little bit of a budget. Will you guys be doing something like that, or are you just going to just not do any videos to accompany this?
I think we'll probably end up doing them the same as we're recording right now, where we will probably both shoot some footage and put it together, you know, shoot it on our own time. And
we have a green screen too, so we're trying to do like a Tim and Eric kind of thing,
right?
You know, like I don't know what you'd call it, but you know, just like bad sort of editing, like green screen, cheesy kind of thing. Because I feel like it just goes with the music. It's just sort of like this, like bizarre thing with weird visuals. You know.
Well, I was looking at the cover of the album, and I was like, what the heck is going on here? It's got a lot of color to it, and it's some sort of weird body of a person with horns. And then I looked at the face.
It's like it's the face off like a cigarette pack when it, you know, the like ad to say like, you know, this is harmful or whatever. This is a harmful product or whatever. It's like a face off a cigarette carton.
That was your idea for it? Yeah.
Well, I just cut it off the cigarette pack and like glued it onto the thing, like that face on the monster thing.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's what that.
Hopefully you don't get sued, but it's great. I like.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that.
It's okay. No, that's all right. They'll know. They'll know you're not making a ton of money.
Advertising.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Andrew. And we're Magic. And go check us out over on Bandcamp, Welpel Records, on December 18th.
I could no longer protect Percy from the dark secrets of Peter's nightmare. He became much too powerful, much too quickly. And I can only pray that his soul is banished forever to the wilderness of Eleronia. And that his forbidden magic will plague us no longer. Please, Peter, spare us, O great warlock.
You're listening to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Hey, my next guest is kind of fun to interview. I'm kind of excited about it because, like a dumb doughhead that I do, I go through my social media and I always check for, you know, the weirdos. You always got to look through because you accept friendships on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and everything. You go, okay, who's this patchouli chomp? Who's this one? Who's that one? What do they want? Nothing. Well, they want something from me. But then I saw this one person. I went, oh, it's a musician. And her name's Claire, and I think she's from Toronto. So I did like the old investigative journalism thing that I've never done in my entire life. I clicked on a few things and went, oh, I really like this. And then I saw a name and I went, she worked with Peter Elkis, my buddy. Oh, this is super cool. This is awesome. I love all of this. This is great. Hey, welcome to Steel City Music. It's Claire Whitehead. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I told you well before, I don't do interviews. I just have chats, and those are my introductions. Mm-hmm. You know,
I love it.
Well, yeah. I really can't do the CBC thing, you know, where it's just like give you the giant backgrounder, right? It's just like, oh my god, mm-hmm. You know, is this?
But I loved that backgrounder. I loved hearing your story of how you found me.
It's legit, dude. I'm a little paranoid on social media lately. But welcome to the show. I'm glad that you took the time out to have a chat with us. And how are you? How is Claire Whitehead doing in the midst? Because before I get into the music, I want to get into the how do you feel about this whole changing of the guard in the dumpster that's below us, America?
Gosh.
Do you feel better?
I feel so much better. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm so glad to see Trump is gone.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know if I have the highest hopes for Biden, but you know, he's not my president. At least I'm just happy that the change has happened. Yeah.
I think we're all a little bit changed. I mean, you're switching out one old white man for another, but at least this one's not racist or misogynistic or hasn't done any horrible things to people that we're aware of. So I guess we'll just go with that. So let's get into, and I brought this up because with you, I did some reading on you, and it was all about how does Claire Whitehead write, what inspires her, that sort of thing. And you state that you're very much influenced by film that you consume and culture. So is that the genesis of Thelma, the new
Absolutely.
Country opera?
Yeah, absolutely. That's 100% it. I basically watched Thelma and Louise for the first time when I was like the age of 30 and going through, had already been through a lot of experiences myself of, you know, little experiences of misogyny or also just getting closer to my female friends in my life and understanding how important that is to me and like to as a woman, like moving through life and through the world. And so I saw this story of Thelma and Louise and how they just like bonded and grew together through their trials and tribulations. And I felt like I couldn't not say something about it.
It made that much of an impact on you then.
Yeah. I can't explain it fully, but yeah, it did. And I was originally I had an idea to do a little cover show where I just play a cover song that I thought related to each moment in the character Thelma's journey. But then my friend urged me on to try and write all of the songs instead of doing covers. So
when you say
up on that challenge,
you say write all the songs. How many songs did you put together for this? Was it an EP that you recorded or was it an LP?
It's, I guess, I don't know what the definition of EP LP is numbers wise, but it's 9 songs altogether.
That's an LP.
I guess it's
an album.
It's an
LP. You did an album, yeah.
It's, yeah. And it's actually, I guess, my first time recording a full length album. I had a rock band in the past and we had a 4-song EP. This was my first endeavor into trying to record a full album of music, and it's been really fun.
Now, this rock band that you had before, and you did an EP, was that, were you fronting the band, or were you just a member of a collective? Was that how it worked? Yeah.
So that was my first band where I fronted it and I wrote the songs. It was called Karoo. That was really fun. I played with my friends in Toronto. We played a couple shows around the city, a couple shows in Peterborough, St. Catharines and stuff. And then I started writing Thelma kind of in the background. And then the pandemic hit, so the band couldn't really get together anymore. And so Thelma just kind of developed
on its own. I read that you actually put on a show with the country opera Thelma, and you intersected it with scenes of the film. 9 songs. Does that mean 9 scenes?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. So I'm trying to think now how it goes. Yeah, what I do is I play a scene, a clip from the film, and then I play a song after it. So it goes back and forth, a clip from the film, then a song, clip from the film, then a song.
Right.
And I also divide it into 3 acts, basically. I sort of like, in my mind, divided the drama that I was trying to show into 3 different phases. And in between each of those, I also play a little bit of violin into a loop pedal. And so I create this sort of like looping, ongoing, building mood, ambiance, I guess. It's a very, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of pieces to the live show. It's not a normal show.
It seems so. In one hand, I think that you writing something like this and discovering this movie, and it inspires you to write something, it can be cathartic is a term, I guess, for you in some ways. But in the other, this is my fear side, I express this, is that, well, you were in a band before and you had people with you performing. So there's a sense of, okay, well, this is us and it's not just me up here. But this country opera thing, this just sounds like it's all you. Like this is, there's no buffer. This is you and that's it.
Yeah. I did develop the whole thing and, wrote and arranged all of it and planned out the whole performance and took care of pretty much every piece of the performance myself. I did give myself a bit of a break by asking a friend to sing harmonies with me on a couple songs.
Sure.
So when I'm up there, I'm not entirely alone for the whole thing, which is like, whew, a bit of a relief because that can be a lot of pressure. But most of it I'm up there by myself. And the first time that I did it, you're not practicing with a band, so you don't have anybody with you backstage before you go on who's sort of like there to rev you up and be like, this is, we know what we're doing now, right? Let's just all do the thing that we practice together. Like it's, no one else was with me when I was practicing at home.
Right.
So I had to just go up there and perform the whole thing on my own and nobody in the audience knew what to expect. It received lots of positive feedback, so I figured I should keep doing it.
You're listening to Steel City Music, your host Gunnar here. My special guest at this time is Claire Whitehead. She just put out recently, I believe in September, a new LP. She's been releasing singles through Bandcamp. It's called Thelma, a Country Opera. And that's quite a story about you being up on stage and doing the looping and doing everything up in front of everyone. How long was the live show when you first did it?
I think it came to about 45 minutes. Yeah.
And total. So 45 minutes in total. And then, and at the end of it, what was some of the feedback that you got over this?
So I had a lot of, women, like friends of mine who were women come up to me and they sort of had this look in their eyes and they were like, wow, that was really, you were saying things and you were expressing things there that I've kind of needed, or I like that I, sure. I wasn't expecting, and that like felt really meaningful to me. And I, cause there's, you know, there's some pretty heavy themes in the film, around like sexual assault and sexism and those experiences that I do bring forward a bit in the performance. I don't, you know, lay it on too thick or anything, cause I don't want it to be, difficult for anybody to watch in any way. But, I think that a lot of the women, in the audience felt pretty impacted by it, from the feedback that I got. And then other feedback was just friends saying like, hey, that was really cool. That someone said I should do it at a Fringe Festival, cause it felt like a very like multidisciplinary.
I was going to ask if you had done something like that, but as you said earlier, yeah. COVID hit. So how many possible yeah. shows could you put together in such a timeline because of that?
Yeah, well, I actually did have, I think I had about 4 or 5 shows booked for the spring,
right.
And had to cancel them all. So.
Now did you yeah. not, I think I read this, did you not do this over Zoom? Because this is what I always talk about with a lot of artists, you know, when this hit back in March and when it was like halfway through March where the hammer came down, everyone's like, look, we're shutting it all down. And yeah. all of the music industry, all the arts, culture, everybody took a huge hit, not just them, but I mean, everybody, as we know. But there's the pivot to well, let's do this online, and how do we do this online, and how do I do this?
Yeah.
Did you not do this once on Zoom?
I did, actually. Yeah, so my friends Michael and Jordy, who run Glad Day Bookshop in Toronto, they amazingly immediately when the pandemic hit, they set up this Glad Day TV series on Zoom, and they had a lot of different artists, all kinds of stuff. They had drag queens, they had people like just right. juggling like anything, and they invited me to come do Thelma through that. So yeah, I performed it. It was sort of like their Zoom account, and then they like invited me in, and we set it up, and then people joined. It was an interesting experience performing on Zoom, because sure. you don't hear the audience feedback or anything like that. But there was people in the chat, like, you know, giving their claps and some feedback. So it was honestly really rewarding and nice to do after like a month or so being, you know, isolated in your apartment.
Right. Cause you need yeah. that creative outlet, because you're used to playing yeah. and you're used to doing, you yeah. know, that. So that only makes sense. Now, yeah. now having said that, you only did it once, and you won't be doing it again, or is that maybe something in the new year you're going to like maybe rethink how you're going to yeah. do it, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. So, So one of the shows that is on hold was I was going to play Kazoo Fest in Guelph, and they very generously have said, you know, we'll hold a spot for you if we're going to do the festival again in 2021.
Right.
So that's like, cross my fingers, hope that happens. But otherwise, I'm thinking of setting up another Zoom show. I might actually be doing one right now I'm in London, Ontario. I just got out of Toronto for a bit. There is a series here called The Woodshop or The Woodshed. And they hold shows. It's like in someone's garage. She sets up shows there. And for the pandemic, she has someone who can actually live stream. So there will only be a couple of people there in the shed, but then it will be filmed and live streamed. So anyone can watch it from anywhere. And that we're planning for December, early December. So
that's just coming up then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yes, I almost forgot about that, but yeah, that is that's something that's coming up.
Oh, I know. I'm supposed to be doing something in December aside from celebrating Christmas of, or the holidays of some sort. That's right. I have to perform. Silly me. Hey, I'm talking to Claire. I'm talking to Claire Whitehead on Steel City Music. She's my special guest right now. She has an album that is out as of September. Two singles are out on Bandcamp right now. It's called Thelma, a country opera. Just want to touch quickly on the on your the influences that you have in your music. Now, you mentioned that you were in an earlier band. When I heard your vocals, I immediately, for me as a listener, and everyone does this, I felt like an energy of a Serena Ryder there at some points.
Oh,
you know, okay. I could see people saying, well, you know, the Sheryl Crow thing. I can okay, yeah, sure, you know, I get that, but I went because of my terrible falling down the rabbit hole personality of clicking on links, and I did this, and I found myself a little bit lost for the last because I was supposed to be doing other things. I was secretly hiding. I've been secretly hiding in my office, saying I'm doing stuff, but I'm not. I'm listening to Land of Talk albums.
Oh my gosh, I love Land of Talk. And they're my favorite band.
Right? Right? Okay. So, and then I started going through their Wikipedia page. I'm like going, oh. And then I'm listening to some of the music and I went back and listened to yourself. I went, oh, I can see what she's talking about here, why she enjoys this artist so much, Elizabeth Powell. Because if you listen to some of the stuff that you're doing, it's roots. There's a roots rock country feel that I can hear, but there's also a bigger sound to everything. And is that something that that you imparted to Peter Elkis, who worked on this with you?
Yeah. So Peter has been great. He's amazing. So I started working with him through, I think a friend of mine knew that he was starting to record in his home studio.
Right.
And we spoke about this project, and he was like, oh, country, you know, country sort of rocky, bluesy, that's my wheelhouse. Like, I can totally do that. And we started working on it, and like all the tracks are, two guitar, I think all the tracks, almost all the tracks are two guitars, and it's me and him. And we sat there playing those guitar beds, sitting across from each other with one mic in the middle and a mic on each guitar. And we just like played through the whole song, and he played these really amazing bluesy riffs, country kind of bluesy riffs over top of my guitar. And so we were playing live together and just playing off of each other. So the whole album has this really wonderful sort of like live jammy kind of underbed to all the songs, which I just love. And it suits the songs and the style of the album so well. Yeah. So Peter's great. He's a great recorder and producer. Yeah. Hi, this is Claire Whitehead. You can listen to my new album, Thelma, a Country Opera, on Bandcamp or Spotify. You can find me at ClaireWhitehead.music on Instagram as well.
No, I won't accept that this is it. And now that I'm the one most fit, I'll sharpen my eyes to the open door and find a song.
Listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Hey, thanks for listening to Steel City Music. Your friend Gunnar here, hanging out with you. And I've been having a lot of fun talking to people that I spoke to last year that I haven't been able to keep in contact with. And I was going through Facebook, and all of a sudden this really super cool video popped up, and it had a really catchy beat to it. And I went, wait a minute, I know that guy. I know that guy. That's Rick from Brutus Begins. And then he's dancing, but he's animated, and it looks fantastic. So, like, I got to track this guy down. I haven't spoken to him forever. Buddy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Gunnar. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, hey, you know, the last time you and I chatted, I think it was like 2019, and you brought the guitar up, and we were hanging out, and you sang a couple tracks, and we were talking about me knowing some of your old roommates, that kind of thing. And
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun and everything. And then, you know, my show gets rolling, a year goes by, and I'm like, whatever the hell happened to Rick? And then, wow. Yeah. I saw that video. Hey, congratulations on All Right, All Right. That's a great song.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I got a lot of help on that one.
Yeah.
And it was actually with that song, that's one of those tracks, like, and a lot of musicians listening will be able to kind of empathize with this. When you have something that's kind of in your head, but it's not coming out exactly the way you planned it or whatever. And it's an older song. It's something that I wrote a few years ago.
Right.
And I'm after meeting up with a producer friend of mine, who was, you know, kind of mentoring me and getting me just how to get better drum sounds, better guitar sounds, better writing. Like, a lot of it having to do with being able to kind of correct with small nuances. Because I personally think the difference between, like, a pretty good song and a great song where it really needs to be is just in details and just, like, cutting the fat and, like, making the hook clear. Like, there's sure. I feel like there's a real craft to it, right? And as much as I like to think I know about it, I still have so much to learn. It was really great to have somebody who had been in the business for quite some time, who had had a lot of success and written for bigger artists, kind of take me under his wing and say, okay, this is how we're going to bring this song to life, really, really bring it together. So.